the Temple Institute. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. So, a bit about this place. We over here are trying to build a temple. Sounds really easy, doesn't it?
No.
No. Okay. So, first of all, before we actually build a temple, we need to ask ourselves, how do we build a temple? Ideas. How do you build a temple?
Make sure the foundation is secure.
Foundation.
Yes, you need a foundation, yes.
Money,
and more lots of money, yes. Problem. Permission.
Materials.
Yeah. Skill
people. Building materials.
Materials.
The skilled people.
Okay. Yes. So we have three ways. First of all, we learn about the temple because, you know, you can't build anything if you don't know actually what is a temple. And we teach about the temple. That's what we're doing right here. And we build the vessels. We're doing the practical stuff for the temple. So all the vessels you're going to see around over here, it's all real. It's ready to be used at the third temple. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
So, why? Now, I want to ask you to convince me to come and visit the temple. Why would I go to the temple?
To worship the Lord.
Okay, good idea. What else? Why would I come? Why would you come?
Because it's beautiful.
Cultural. Sorry?
Lots of history.
So some people will come to the temple to worship God, to pray, to offer sacrifice, to feel close to God. But some people come to the temple because, you know, that's their job. The job is to serve God at the temple. Speaking about two groups. First group is called Levites and the priests, the Aaronites. Now, the Levites are a tribe in Israel, and the Aaronites, the priests, are a family at the Levite tribe. They're all descended to Aaron. Now, the Levites have two jobs at the temple. They're the ones who guard the temple to show respect to the place. And they're the musicians of the temple. You can see over here musical instruments that were made for the Levites. Now, our generation is a generation of music. Everybody has an MP3, MP4, MP9, iPod, iPhone, I don't know what. Everybody is listening every single moment to music, right?
No.
I don't know. Not exactly. But we all know that feeling after a long, hard day. Then you hear a song that you like. And everything looks much better. You know that feeling? Makes you feel much better. The Levites had the same ability with that song that we like. To make the person who comes into the temple, you know, to feel at home. Feel, I'm in the right place for me right now. Make the environment more holier. So that's what the Levites used to do. The priests are the ones who do all the rest of the jobs. They offer the sacrifices, offer the incense, put the showbread on the showbread table. And if we look at the garments, the clothing of the priest, we could actually see the two kinds of priests, ordinary priest and a high priest. If we look at the clothing of the ordinary priest, see it's very plain. You see, it's very plain, white, simple. You know, maybe I would expect from somebody who walked into a holy temple to wear something, you know, fancier. Somebody agree with me? So what is the point? My brother, a few weeks ago, had a birthday party. You know, little kid, became 10 years old, so we needed to do some party, balloons, you know, all kinds of attractions. A cake, a big cake, fancy cake. You know, kids. So all the children came, they had a great time, and it went perfect until one of the children took out his new Game Boy. End of story, yeah. End of party.
Yeah.
You know, if we would do it, we would actually be really rude. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my brother's party, it's not my party. Same point about the temple. Somebody comes to the temple, he's not supposed to come to see the beautiful clothing of the priest. He's supposed to come to feel close to God. God is the one who's important over here, not the priest himself. That's why he's wearing plain. But the high priest, here at the back, is wearing fancier clothing. Because he has a special job. You know, maybe I would go to the temple to see the high priest. Because he was a spiritual leader of all the world. So he's got his special clothing. His clothing also known as the golden clothing. Because in each and every one of the sets of the clothes, there's a little bit of gold. Let's have a look. Now on his head, forehead, he's got a kind of crown, golden crown called the tzitz. See it right over here, on the red standard. You won't manage to sound move right over here. See? And on that golden crown, it says, holy to God. The high priest's job is holy to God. And he has to remember it every single moment. The high priest isn't allowed to put his hands on top of that crown, because then it looks like, you know, that he is beyond God. Every single moment at the temple, he has to be focused at his job. Holy to God, I'm doing it because it's holy to God. I'm doing this because it's holy to God. Every single moment, he has to be focused. Next, we could see the blue tunic with golden bells at the bottom and pomegranate. So when the high priest comes into the room, you know he was coming into the room because Hanan coming in. You know how to give him the right respect. On top is a high colorful belt called the ephod. One of the strings of the ephod is actually gold. On top of the breastplate with 12 stones as
12
very good. 12 tribes. And on every single stone there's the name of a tribe written on it. So this is a And the, if you see, the breastplate has to be at the place of the heart. The high priest, every single moment on his heart, he has to remember that he's got the responsibility for all the 12 tribes. All the Israelites are on his heart. Say about Aaron, that he was somebody who loved peace. He didn't only love, he did lots of stuff. He was a big peace leader. All the time on his heart, the Israelites. So, that's a bit about the priest, the high priest, job. Now we're going to speak about the temple itself. After you convince me why to call it the temple, let's go inside. Now, when we're going to speak about the temple, we're going to speak about three areas. The inner courtyard over here. And two sections at the building itself. The holy, holy, and the holy of holy. So inside of the holy, there's three vessels. Any idea which vessels? I'll stop.
Showbread
table, very good.
Menorah.
And?
The altar of incense.
The altar of incense, very good. So right over here, we could see the first vessel, we'll speak about it, the golden altar. Now the golden altar is made out of
gold.
Not right. It's made out of acacia wood, yeah. Covered
right.
By gold.
Right.
It's also known as the incense altar because this is the place where you offer the incense. Now, how do you offer the incense? You take some ashes on a shovel. See it right over here. A shovel. Put the ashes from the sacrificing altar outside of the building of the temple into the incense altar. Then they used to take incense, that's actually a bunch of spices, put them together and they have a great smell. So they used to pour it. If you look at the picture over here, you could see them pour the incense on the ashes. You could see the smoke going straight up and the smell used to spread till the Jericho. So even before you got into Jerusalem, you already know felt different. You know you're coming into a new place because it smells of incense. Now, I told you a fact that was wrong. You all need to tell me what fact was wrong. That's what I said. About the incense. And the incense altar. Somebody know biology? Chemistry? No? Okay. I'll repeat, you need to tell me what's wrong. The golden altar is made out of?
Acacia wood, covered with gold.
Very good. And how do you offer the incense?
Put it in it.
You're burning. Very good. When you put hot ashes on an altar out of wood, what would happen? Very good. So what's the problem? What did he do with the problem? Moses had that question to God. When he got the commandment of making this altar, he said, God, how do you expect from us to put hot ashes on an altar made out of wood? And God told him something beautiful. He said, this is my house. My house, I've got my special rules. So if I tell you to put hot ashes on an altar made out of wood, that's a very interesting look at miracles at the temple. Yes, that's God's house. He's got a special rule at his house. And we just need to do whatever he tells us to do. Another vessel at the holy is called the menorah. We made a menorah. Right now, it's next to the western wall. Do you see it?
Yeah.
All of you? Good. So I'll need to show you the picture because it's a bit too heavy to carry the menorah to show you right now. Sorry. Okay. So the menorah, it's made out of pure gold. As you see, it has seven branches. On top of every single branch, there's special decorations. Now, who feels strong? Okay, you have the face. What's your name?
Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. Okay, Abia. Nice to meet you. Okay, so Ryan over here is going to volunteer to be a menorah. Okay, we're going to give you the decoration of the menorah that you could show everybody. Okay? Ready? Do you eat your lunch?
Yes.
Oh, good for you. Okay, decoration number one. Alright. Spices, incense. It's one of the spices of the incense. Very clever to put it inside of the goblet. First decoration. Second is the button. The button, right?
Yeah.
Next, the flower. You can hold it in your hand, it's fine. We let you. Only this time, next time. And at last, the lamp, where you put the oil inside. See? Okay, ready for it?
Oh.
Whoa! Oh, you're doing a good job. Maybe when you'll grow up, you'll get to be a menorah. So what Ryan just showed you is the bit over here.
Oh.
Okay. Questions? Come on. This time of the
day. Are you taking the third temple from the measurements in Ezekiel?
No. We've got the big... I can tell you a few answers. First of all, we've got a Mishnah. You know what's a Mishnah?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no? Okay.
Yes.
So that's the Torah and the Bible. Speak about the Old Testament, as we call it. And then we've got, so we don't understand the commandments exactly from the Bible. So God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai a way that we could understand. And that used to go from father to son. They used to teach them their second Torah, called the Torah by heart, because he used to say it. It wasn't written until the time of the Romans, where the big rabbi was afraid that because we're out of our land, we'll forget about the Torah by heart. So they wrote. He wrote a book called the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually tells us all what we need to know, but they were very clever ones because we don't understand from it much. That's why they wrote the Talmud. That's the explanation to the Mishnah. Do you all hear about the Talmud?
Yeah.
So now you know what's a Talmud. So something very important about the Mishnah, they don't write anything for fun. They write because we need to know. So one of the Mishnahs are called Midot, measurements. And over there, there's a measurement of a temple, of the second temple. Now, we've got a rule, we've got a book of rules. How exactly is the Sod temple supposed to look? And they said, the rule is, it's supposed to be like the second temple. So we're going to build like a second temple, and we won't do like Ezekiel said, because we just don't understand what he said. The Judaism teaches us to live the prophets, not to do stuff for the prophets, but live it. You know, right now that we're sitting here in Jerusalem, we're actually living in a prophet. We're living a situation of prophet. Of a prophet that the prophets used to tell us about it. Yes. How, I'm sure, the prophet of Ezekiel will happen. I'm 100% sure. We need to do our commandments, what God told us to do, and it will happen. How exactly? No idea. Okay? Did I answer? Good.
So could you tell what will be the other parts of the temple, because you talk about the holy? So
yes, we're going to speak
in the courtyard.
Don't worry, we're going to speak about it downstairs in the room over here. Did I forget? Okay. More questions?
What a priest and the huge one.
Okay. Okay, yes, another question, sorry.
Who are the priests going to be and are you training them now?
Good question. The answer, first of all, is yes, we're training them right now. There's a school and a place called Neve Tzuf where we teach priests. How do I know that I'm a priest? Two ways. First of all, there's tradition. It means every single priest needs to say three times a day a special blessing. We bless Israel in love. So if I saw my father saying that blessing, and he saw his father saying that blessing, it's really, you know, traditional. So most of the traditional priests are priests, from the family of the priests, but also there's about a few thousand priests that they actually have a family tree. So Aaron, so they are 100% the priests. Kohen, yeah. Did I answer your question? Yeah? Maybe she had a question.
From the time you start building the temple, how long will it take you to complete it?
Good question. I asked my boss. He said 6 months.
Six months.
We don't promise a temple like it used to be. Maybe it will be a small temple at the beginning, but it will be a temple. Yes.
You speak with great conviction. Are you paid or is a volunteer position what you're doing?
Good question. Now, we've got something called in Israel called the National Service. It means after you finish studying at high school, you need to give a year until 3 years to the state. So right now, or through the army, or the National Service. It means people go to hospitals and to kindergartens and to schools. And all around the country, there's people who do national service, they're my age. So I'm doing national service at the Temple Institute. I think it's a big service to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
More questions? Yes?
In regards to the menorah, are there not some engravings on each one of the seven branches? We have a bud, a flower, and an almond. Are those not engraved on the menorah?
I'll tell you what. First of all, I'm sorry to tell you, but a little secret. The Torah was actually written in Hebrew. I'm sure you can't believe it. So it means when you speak about the English translation, it's first of all translation. It means that when I speak about a goblet, some people will call it a cup. Mm-hmm. I mean, exactly the same thing, just a different translation. Now, about the almonds. The almonds, if you look, each and every one of the decorations we made, you can see the little almonds over here.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
See it? Okay. And each and every one of them. I could show you, but a time will go up and not everybody will manage to see. You'll need to just believe me. Okay? So, more questions.
Okay. Is the menorah made of pure gold?
Yes.
I remember hearing a lovely story about where some gold came from I think in that container there, from someone hid it during the Holocaust. Have you heard that? When I was here before, that's the story they told us, that they hid it and they went back and found it after the Holocaust and then made this gold.
Never heard about it,
yeah,
but
it was
a man
that
story.
Told us that, yeah. Tradition.
So maybe, yes, maybe it could be. I'll ask for it.
Yeah,
if you want to give your email address,
yeah.
I'll send you the story.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we're going downstairs. Okay, last question, okay?
Okay, so the Levites are going to be the priests and the high priests in the new temple?
Yes.
And do you have a high priest in there?
No.
And
we don't have to choose.
But they will be from...
He has to be a priest. He has to be a priest.
Not to choose.
A high priest had to choose. Now, first of all, why didn't we choose? Because we're not sure when actually we'll have a temple. If it will be in 5 years, we should choose. If it will be in 60 years, so if we choose a high priest right now, I guess he'll die. So, no point to choose a high priest. You don't know exactly when we'll have a temple. Got the point?
Yes.
Now, how do you choose a high priest? The first of all, a high priest is a priest. A priest is a kind of a Levite. And the priest used to choose a guy with a few rules about him. He has to be rich, he has to be married, he has to be, you know, a wise guy, a religious guy. He has to be, you know, born with the right look. You know, he's going to be the spiritual leader of Israel. He needs to be at a spiritual level. So the priest used to choose somebody, then they used to send him to court. The court used to choose if he's the right guy or not. If yes, great, he's going to be the high priest. If not, the court are called Sanhedrin. And Sanhedrin, the high court. If they say yes, so yes. If they say no, the priest needs to choose somebody else. Okay, let's go downstairs.